I am Planta on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. In a groundbreaking and thoughtful new book, Slow Death by Rubber Duck, How the Toxic Chemistry of Everyday Life Affects Our Health, its authors Rick Smith and Bruce Laurie have revealed the toxins in our daily lives and how they impact our health. Everything from baby bottles, air fresheners, nonstick pans, and yes, the rubber duck, have toxins in them that aren't good for us. The authors did something very interesting in writing this book. They actually lived with the toxins we have and use and tested their blood and urine regularly. What was found was frightening. There was an increase in toxin levels in blood that signaled to us, the reader, that perhaps we should make some changes. I'm joined now by Bruce Laurie, an influential environmental thinker and the founder of one of Canada's largest environmental consultancies. He is president of the Ivy Foundation. The book is published by Knopf Canada. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program, Bruce Laurie. Good morning, Mr. Laurie.
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. This experiment entailed what, and whose idea was it?
Well, we'd been working on these issues for quite a few years, and the group that Rick, my co-author, and me are affiliated with is called Environmental Defense, and we'd been testing the blood of Canadians to show the levels of toxic pollution in people's blood for, you know, for probably 2 or 3 years now, and you know, so we started, you know, almost started out as a bit of a joke, thinking that you know, we could write a book about it, and then, you know, rather than just write a regular book, why don't we you know, test our own blood, and then, well, why not, rather than just test our own blood, why don't we see if we can't, you know, expose ourselves to these different, you know, daily household products and see if the chemicals in them will actually, you know, increase in our blood as we're exposing ourselves.
So you lived in a condo for about a week or so, did you?
Yeah, that's right. Most of the tests were over about a 3 or 4 day period, and and one of the things that we did, one of our cardinal rules for the tests, was that nothing that we did was really outrageous. So basically, we were doing things that you know, millions of Canadians do every day. You know, using shampoos, using deodorants, using body products. You know, heating our food in plastic containers, eating tuna, and so it, you know, wasn't as though we were, you know, soaking ourselves in vats of chemicals. We were just doing things that people do every day, except we were doing it in a methodical way, and we, you know, measured the levels of these chemicals before we started the experiment, during the experiment, at the end of the experiment, so that we could actually see whether or not these different chemicals were being absorbed into our blood.
Now, before we get into the results of the blood and urine samples, the results of those tests, did you feel different after all of this? Like, did you feel physically different?
Well, the tests themselves were pretty miserable, and I would say, you know, it's funny, I was the one that did the mercury test by eating a whole lot of tuna, and you know, one of the first signs of mercury poisoning is actually you know, irritability, and I was certainly quite irritable by the end of it. I don't know if it was breathing in the stain repellent fumes or eating the mercury, but you know, that's, I would say that was, you know, the direct thing that we experienced.
Liz, did you feel a change at all once you went back to, say, normal life?
Well, it was, you know, it was a relief. I don't think I could say that we you know, we felt any significant physical thing happening in our bodies. I mean, that's one of the challenges with these chemicals, right, is that they're the exposure levels that can harm particularly children are so low that you're never actually going to have you know, any kind of physical reaction to them. I mean, people might react, you know, in different ways to, you know, heavily scented products, have allergic reactions, but what we're talking about with these chemicals is they get into your body, and particularly, you know, as I said, in the bodies of, you know, developing babies and fetuses, and they do something called, you know, they're called hormone disruptors, and so they actually mimic the hormones as our bodies are developing, and that affects the, you know, the brains and bodies of kids. You know, typically you're looking at issues, you know, reproductive disorders, you know, neurological things, so brain development problems, and those typically happen, or can happen, many, many years after you're exposed, and in some cases, some of the research now is even showing that the effects are are multi-generational. So you could actually have a, you know, a child exposed to these things, and the health effects aren't seen until their offspring are born. So it's very challenging, you know, challenging science to work with.
So there are toxins, and the cover of the book is quite clever. It shows a rubber duck, and it shows what toxins are in there. Is there, like, can we blame, say, the manufacturers for putting this stuff in there?
Well, you know, I think there's a couple of things going on. There was for many, many years, you know, the history, kind of the post-Second World War history of development has really been, you know, the introduction of new chemicals and, better life through chemistry kind of thinking. And I think there was a genuine, you know, naivete in the early days as these chemicals started appearing in all of our products. I would say we're a little less tolerant now of companies knowing that there are, you know, disturbing health links to some of these things, and yet they're still reluctant to stop putting them in products. And, and in fact, there are all kinds of new applications. Take stain repellent products or antibacterial things, are everywhere now. And, I think in some of these cases, there's no excuse for companies to continue to put them in, and in fact, no excuse for governments to not start looking at banning them, which, you know, we can talk about that. There are some positive signs on that front.
Yeah, we've seen, I guess, the Harper government, they've banned bisphenol A.
Yeah, bisphenol A in plastic baby bottles. Canada, in fact, is the first country in the world to ban bisphenol A plastic for baby bottles. And, we worked very closely with the government on that issue. And, we're seeing, different countries taking on different issues. For example, phthalates, which are the chemical that makes a rubber duck soft and rubbery feeling. It's also the chemical that makes your shampoo smell flowery. Those chemicals are actually being banned in Europe. So we're seeing different jurisdictions take the lead on doing the research and starting to get rid of these chemicals. And we're fairly hopeful that this is a new trend, and it's largely driven by, you know, concerned parents. More and more we see concerned, you know, doctors and cancer researchers and people that are, seeing these strange things happening. In fact, what we refer to as sort of the modern childhood epidemics, things like autism, attention deficit disorder, obesity. These are, these things these health problems are growing exponentially, and all of these health issues are linked to the use of synthetic chemicals.
Now, you back to this idea of whether did manufacturers know going into this that say bromine and chlorine and lead were being put into certain products and the sort? Did they know the consequences?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, there were issues around, or certainly some concerns around them. I mean, for different chemicals, there's different issues. Mercury, for example, we wrote about the mercury in tuna, and I ate a bunch of tuna meals, and I was able to nearly triple my mercury levels over a few days. That's something where, mercury is in the environment as a result of a lot of, industrial uses, and there's also some natural mercury. Other things, lead is something where the people making lead products have been, fighting regulations. We find a lot of people in the chemical industry, they vigorously oppose efforts to, ban these products. And then on the other hand, we see some leading companies, 3M, for example, that makes, a stain-resistant spray called ScotchGuard. They actually saw what was happening with the chemical in ScotchGuard, and they were so disturbed by the extent to which the chemical had completely covered the globe and was basically in the bodies of, you know, 95% of North Americans that they voluntarily stopped using that chemical. So, you know, we're seeing a combination of progressive companies that, you know, are very concerned about consumers, and then other companies that basically say if the government isn't banning it, then they'll continue to use it, while at the same time, you know, fighting efforts by governments to ban them.
So the onus is on us, the consumer, then, to be savvy, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I think consumers play a huge role, and what we're seeing is really this, you know, this combination of things happening, where you get consumers, and particularly, you know, young mothers that are concerned, you know, rightly so. They start asking questions, and then, you know, you get, you know, there's all kinds of new growing small companies making alternative products, which is great. And then, you know, and then the politicians start to realize that people are, you know, consumers are concerned, and then some of the politicians, I think, you know, personally, our, you know, former federal health minister Tony Clement, I think, really took this issue to heart, and that was a big reason why they acted in Canada. So we're seeing, you know, this combination of efforts come together and ultimately result in, you know, positive and hopeful decisions.
Do you find that you can't eat tuna anymore?
No, funny, you should ask. I eat a lot of fish. Fish is my primary protein source. And I think, you know, one of the important messages is that fish actually is a great way to get protein, and people really should eat a lot of fish. I do restrict my tuna consumption, and you know, the average person shouldn't eat more than one tuna meal a week. And but what's important are you know, any pregnant women or women that are thinking of becoming pregnant, they should not eat any tuna at all while they're pregnant, or, you know, while they're considering becoming pregnant, because it's again just these very, very small quantities that get into a body at a particular time in its development that can, you know, that can cause these, in the case of tuna, you know, neurological development issues.
And so wild fish is what you recommend that we all consume, right?
Yeah, I think wild fish. I know there are a whole range of issues around, you know, farmed salmon, particularly out here. I think there are some, there are certain kinds of farmed fish that are probably safe to eat. You know, there's some inland trout fish where I come from in Ontario, and there's some, you know, there is some, I think, mid-ocean farming of various species that, you know, don't disrupt the ecosystem. But yeah, certainly. I mean, personally, I seek out wild fish.
Deodorant. You discuss that in the book. You mentioned it earlier. The sort of the product that makes deodorant smell sort of distinct. What's the key to buying deodorant? Should we get something that's scent free?
Yeah. That's really the simple thing. It's the challenging part for some of these issues is that many products are very poorly labeled in Canada. We have, you know, Canada's probably has some of the you know, the weakest labeling standards of any Western country. So you have to look for things that are sort of code words. So you'll see an ingredient called parfum. It's P-A-R-F-U-M, and that's usually a code word that the product has phthalates in it. But I think just a general rule of thumb is to purchase things that are scent-free. I noticed something the other day. It said natural scent or original scent or something, and sure enough, you know, it was had phthalates in it. So you want to really focus on that, unscented.
Because of the swine flu, there's been a bit of a rush to buy antibacterial products. Some are good, some are not. Which ones are good?
Yeah, there's really two different types of antibacterial products. Personally, I avoid them all. You know, it's usually not that hard to, you know, wash your hands in a restaurant or in an office or something, and you can just, you know, avoid them entirely. But if you're going to purchase one of those antibacterial hand lotions, there are those that have alcohol, and there are those that have a chemical called triclosan. And you want to avoid the ones with triclosan, and you will find that triclosan is usually listed in the ingredients, so you can actually look on the back. And so if you see triclosan and you don't see alcohol, you want to avoid that and really focus only on the alcohol-based products.
I don't know if you talk about this in the book, but I a couple weeks ago I had to was getting a cup of water in one of those water coolers, and they only had styrofoam cups. And styrofoam is bad for us, is it? I noticed after I drank it, my throat was hurting.
But yeah, you know, to be honest, we didn't look at styrofoam. For me, there's a few kind of cross-cutting rules or, you know, basic rules, and we talk about these things in the book. On the one hand, there are certain plastics that contain bisphenol A, usually the hard, clear plastics. Typically are the ones that have that contain bisphenol A, which you want to avoid, and certainly you don't want to heat anything up in. But to me, it's a much simpler rule of thumb just to say, you know, try to avoid those things as much as you can. So, you know, don't buy plastic stuff. Never heat food in plastics. Don't drink out of plastic cups. I mean, thankfully, I've, you know, been, you know, traveling across the country this past week and visiting radio stations and TV stations and things, and I'm amazed that virtually every single one of them offered me water or coffee or tea in a ceramic mug or a glass, and I don't think it was just because they knew who I was, but, you know, more and more I think people are just starting to return to more natural products. And another simple rule of thumb is try to imagine what your grandparents did. You know, they weren't using a lot of these new chemicals, and I think we're probably better off for it.
Who's Sarah Dopp?
Sarah was our project manager and researcher. So, in addition to just writing a book, we actually had to undertake all of these experiments, which required, you know, designing the experiments, working with the laboratories that tested the blood. There were several different laboratories across North America that we used. And Sarah basically organized all that and kept us on track, and and helped us out a great deal with putting the book together.
And you and Rick, when you were in the condo there, you played a lot of Guitar Hero.
We played a little Guitar Hero. Yeah, we.
Who's better?
I'm much better.
Have you enjoyed talking to Canadians about this book?
Oh, yeah, you know, it's been fantastic. In fact, I was just remarking to Rick a couple minutes ago walking here that, we just did a call-in show on the CBC in Vancouver, and every single person that called in, and we've done a few of these, is knowledgeable, is trying to do the right thing, is, you know, way ahead of, you know, the average, you know, frankly, politician on this issue. And and it just, you know, it's very gratifying just to listen to people that are, they want to do the right thing, they've got the right instincts, and they're really out there trying to get as much information as they can so they can make the right choices in their lives. And it's been, hugely gratifying.
You both have done a great service, and it's a good book. Congratulations on it. Continued good luck with it, Bruce.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Joseph. I appreciate your interest.
You're very welcome. The book is called Slow Death by Rubber Duck, How the Toxic Chemistry of Everyday Life Affects Our Health. Knopf Canada is its publisher. Bruce Lurie on the line, one of its co-authors. I'm Joseph Planta.